આપણે ઘણા ખુશી છીએ કે આપણી મધ્યે થોમસ પ્રભાકર, જેઓ ઇન્ડિયાથી આપણી મધ્ય આવ્યા છે અને છેલ્લા બે રવિવારથી એની આપણે જાહેર ખબર આપતા હતા, તેઓ ઇન્ડિયામાં હૈદરાબાદની અંદર ગવર્મેન્ટ ઓફિસમાં કામ કરે છે અને 1990માં તેમનું તારણ થયું હતું અને ત્યારથી પ્રભુ તેમને જુદી જુદી રીતે ઇન્ડિયામાં અને અમેરિકામાં વાપરી રહ્યો છે. અને ભાઈ સુનિલ ટેલર, કે જેઓ ડેલાવરથી તેમને આપણી મધ્ય લાવ્યા છે, એટલે સુનિલભાઈના પણ આપણે ઋણી છે અને આભાર માનીએ છીએ. થેન્ક યુ વેરી મચ બ્રધર થોમસ પ્રભાકર, થેન્ક યુ ફોર યોર પ્રેયર્સ એન્ડ યોર ટેસ્ટિમની એન્ડ યોર મિનિસ્ટ્રી, એન્ડ વી બિલીવ દેટ ગોડ ઇઝ યુઝિંગ યુ ઇન્ડિયા એઝ વેલ એઝ અમેરિકા, એન્ડ એઝ વી આર હિયર ટુ ઇગર ધ મેસેજ ઓફ ધ લોર્ડ, ગોડ વિલ યુઝ યુ ટુડે ફોર ધ એક્સટેન્શન ઓફ હિઝ કિંગડમ. થેન્ક યુ ફોર કમિંગ. પ્લીઝ કમ એન્ડ ડિલિવર ધ ગોડ્સ મેસેજ.
You must excuse me if I give the message in English. I hope most of you understand English. We are after all in America and we cannot manage without English in this country. I just want to say a few things about myself. I am a born again Christian. In other words, Jesus Christ is living in my heart. Now this experience is very important, because in John chapter 3 verse 3, our Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you are not born again, you cannot understand anything about the things of God or the kingdom of God. Being born again means the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, must live in your heart. And that is very important. Many of us come to church in India. I remember, especially during Christmas season, Christians who don't go to the church at all for 11 months in a year, they are found in church only during Christmas. Well, those are not really the children of God. The children of God are those who can say that Jesus Christ is living in my heart. That is very important. Jesus said, only if you are born again, you can, and born of water and the Spirit, you can enter the kingdom of God. That is John chapter 3 verse 5. These words are very, very important. And I am telling you this because I came from a church called the Church of South India, which is just like your Church of North India, those of you who are from India, which is a very traditional church, and there was no life in it. And in my youth, I went into wrong doctrines. I was observing the Sabbath, the seventh day. So for many years, I was trapped by the Seventh-day Adventist type of belief and cult. But it is through the prayers of my wife, who is a born-again believer. She prayed for me for 10 years. And when I was a district magistrate working in one of the districts in Andhra Pradesh, I was saved, and I was saved in the year 1990, that is about 19 years ago. Till that time, I did not know what it is to be born again. I thought I am a Christian, I thought I am reading the Bible, I thought I know about God. But only when I was in the district, when God came into my life, my eyes were opened, my heart was opened, and when I started reading the Bible was speaking to me. Now when we read the Bible, we must hear the voice of God. It is a living Bible. It is not some book that we keep under our pillow and sleep or we carry in our suitcase. We have to read it, and every day God speaks to us. This is a living word because we have a living God. So my testimony is that I am working in the government. Actually, I am under the government of India, and I have worked for 32 years in the government. Though I look young, I'm actually 55 years old, and recently I became a grandfather. My daughter, who is in Delaware, she had a baby. So I came to visit my daughter, and it is only due to a young believer, a young child of God called Sunil Taylor, that I was able to come to your church and minister here. And he was the one who spoke to Brother Jayanti, and Brother Jayanti invited me over to speak here. I would like to share about the Word of God. Luke chapter 5 is what we read. Luke chapter 5, from verse 1 to verse 11. Many of us are familiar with this passage. Now, verse 1. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake Gennesaret. What was the crowd doing there? They were listening. They were listening to the word of God. So that is very important. We must listen to the word of God. That means we must have ears to hear the voice of God. Many times we read the word of God. In the CSI church, they read a portion and afterwards they read from a book and it's all over. But when we read the word of God, especially when, not in the church, but in our home, in our quiet time, when we get up in the morning, first thing we must do is to read the word of God. When we get up in the morning, the first thing we must do is to read the word of God and say, Lord, speak to me. I must hear your voice. We must have ears to hear the voice of the Lord. So the wonderful thing that happened here by the Lake Gennesaret, Lake Sea of Galilee, was this crowd is eager. They are hungry for the word of God. The Bible is a living Bible and it contains the words of life. Now many people can stand and we can speak the word of God. We can read many commentaries and we can take notes. That is not how we preach the word of God. The word of God must be experienced by you in your life. First, the word has to go into your heart and the word must bear fruit. First and foremost, you must be born again through the word of God. You must be born again through the gospel. Then your eyes will be opened. The word will speak to you. There are many promises in the Bible. You know, there are more than 8,000 specific promises in the Bible. Now all these promises, we can hold the promise and we can claim it. But that is not it. We must experience that promise in our life. How do we experience the promise? For instance, the Lord says in Isaiah 43 verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you go through the fire, you will not be burnt. You can just read it and say, oh, it is a promise. But when you go through suffering and trial, when the enemy is attacking you, when you hold on to that promise will pull you out of the trouble. The word of God has got enough power to deliver you from the attacks of the enemy, to deliver you from difficult situations. You have to experience the word of God. Then you will be able to say, this word is a living word. I know the value of this word. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is very important. This crowd, they came to hear the word of God. And the word of, who was preaching the word of God? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the living word. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He is the living word. This is the written word, right? And he was speaking the word of God. Now today, many people don't want to hear only word of God. They want to hear word plus something extra. In India, if you want to gather a large crowd, you will say, you won't say gospel meeting. You will say gospel and healing meeting. So people will come for the healings. Or we'll say gospel and miracles. So people will come for that. Or they will come for gospel and drama. You know what is drama? If you switch on your TV, these American preachers, you will find some of them walking up and down the platform. They will touch somebody and he falls down. Jesus did not do anything like that. He took the word of God, he spoke the word of God, and the word was having life, and the word was entering into the heart. Do we have a hunger for the word of God? Are we listening to the word of God? Are we feeding on the word of God? That is very important. Why I'm saying this is, our faith comes from the word of God. Many people say, Jesus Christ appeared to me in a dream. Don't believe that. The word must speak to you. Understand? The word must speak to you. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing. So again, you have to listen. And hearing from the word of God. So the crowd gathered there was listening to the word of God as it was released by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said, we have not heard anybody speak like this. No man spoke like this man. That's a testimony written there in John chapter 7 verse 46. Nobody spoke the way Jesus spoke. Those who are children of God, those who have gone through suffering in their life, when they speak the word, we will say this man has experienced the word. He has got life in him. Now the second thing. Jesus was standing and he was speaking the word. You know, our Lord, he came as a man. He was standing there by the beach, by the sea. For how long? For 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. The message given by the Lord was a long, long message. But today, we don't want so much of word of God. You speak only for 15 minutes. Speak only 30 minutes. We have other things. How can we grow? How can we know Jesus if we don't read the word of God, if we don't listen to the word of God? And our Lord was standing. He was not even sitting. And he was tired. He was in the flesh. But he had a burden to share the word of God. And so, out of his weakness, our Lord was in the human body. And he was tired. So he looked around for a place to sit down. The crowd was pressing against him. There were hundreds and even thousands of people. Everywhere Jesus went, thousands of people were following. So he saw two boats. Verse 2. Somebody read verse 2. You can read in Gujarati also if you like. Verse 2. So there were two boats lying there. Those boats belonged to Simon, Peter and John. And they had gone out in the night for fishing, because fishing is done in the night. Those of you who are from Gujarat know, if you are in Cambay or Kambat or wherever you are, where you'll see the boats going in the late in the evening, going into the Arabian Sea. So they go in the night. Why? Because the fishes, when the water is cold in the night, the fishes will come to the surface. So the fishermen go late in the evening and they come back early in the morning. So Peter and John, they went. The whole night they were there. They never caught anything. So they came back, the boats were empty and the fishermen were washing their nets. Now our Lord, verse 3, somebody read verse 3. Our Lord saw one boat and he got into the boat. How wonderful it is. He did not even ask, can I use your boat? He didn't ask the person. He just got into the boat. Now we must ask our question, why the Lord was so free with Simon? I'll tell you why Lord was very free with Simon Peter. Because Simon Peter loved the Lord. So the Lord can take liberties with him. He didn't even ask his permission. Simon, I want to use your boat. He just got into the boat and he said, take the boat inside. Now the question you and I must ask, can the Lord be free with me? Can the Lord tell me, I want you to go there, I want you to go there. But you know, most of us are very busy. We say, Lord, I have my work. I can come on Sunday to church, but only 1 hour. I can't sit longer than that. And I cannot do any other ministry, no Sunday school ministry. I will not go and visit anybody in the hospital. I will just come and listen to the word. Many of us are very selfish. But Peter was not like that. Though he did his fishing, he loved the Lord and he said, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. You must also be like that. So the Lord took liberties with him. Peter not only gave his boat, Peter gave his house. You know that? Peter gave his house. Whenever our Lord came to Capernaum, he stayed in Peter's house. Is the Lord staying in your house? Is your house open to the Lord? Can he come into your house? What is he going to see in your house? First thing he will see is the television set. Is he going to be happy there? He will see the books you are reading. Can the Lord feel any liberty to come to your house? But he was very open and very free, like a dost, like a friend Peter was. He said, he got into the boat and he said, take the boat a little bit into the sea. Why? Because the crowd is pushing on him. And so he wanted some distance. And then he sat down. After standing so long, finally our Lord sat down and he began to teach the word of God. You know, this is very important. We have to teach the word of God. In America, sad to say, I have visited in Delaware many churches, different Christian and Missionary Alliance. I have visited Baptist Church. I have visited Presbyterian Church. I have visited all these American churches. There is no teaching. That's why people are not growing. That is why today their children are suffering. That is why enemy is attacking them. There is no teaching. We must know when we read the Bible, what are the deep truths in the Word of God. Now we are reading about Luke chapter 5. What is the Lord telling me from this story? Is it a Sunday school story? Is it a story for children? Lord is teaching us some important principles. About what? He's teaching us about faith. Without faith, you cannot come to God. Without faith, you cannot live. We are going to learn about faith. But if you want to know about faith, we have to read the Word of God. We have to study the Word of God on our knees. By the way, somebody mentioned Maninagar in Ahmedabad, right? Well, we have a church there called Beersheba. I don't know whether you know about it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, they are taught the Word of God there, very deeply in the Word of God. So we have to be very strong in the Word of God. So he was teaching the people the Word of God. Why? As Christians, as believers, the more Word we read, the stronger we become. So when we become strong in the Word of God, we can go anywhere in the world and preach the gospel. Today God is telling people, Christians, Gujarati Christians, and telling people like me from South India that we must come to America and preach the gospel to whom? Not only to our own people, but we must preach to the Americans. They must know what is the real gospel. So we have to teach divine principles about faith. We have to teach the principles of a holy life, the principles about consecration. You know, in the end, they left everything and followed him. We have to teach them that if you want to follow Jesus, it is 24/7. What is 24/7? Every day for the Lord, every week for the Lord, every hour for the Lord, not only Sunday, not just 2 hours. Hey, we are 100% we have to live for the Lord. There is no such thing as Christmas Christian and Sunday Christian. Every day, every minute, I am belonging to the Lord. I live for Him. So we have to teach the truths of God. Why? You know, today we are living in a time when all kinds of false preachers are coming. They say revival in Toronto. They say revival in Florida. But it's only a tamasha that is going on there. Even on the TV, they say revival. Revival won't come without prayer. You examine yourself. For me to be saved, they had to pray 10 years. And not only my wife, but people in the church were praying. It took so much time to save one soul. Without prayer, can you save anybody? You have to pray for the person. But what do? People go to seminary, they learn something and they come and speak. That is not how you save a soul. You have to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, please save my son. You must cry with tears, save my daughter. In America, the place is so wicked. There are so many dangerous things happening here. We have to pray with tears for our children, for our loved ones, for our husband, for our wife, and also for the American people. Now we see here, the Lord finished teaching. I think he spoke from 9 o'clock in the morning to about 12 o'clock noontime. And so Simon had lent the boat to him. So the Lord wanted to do something for Simon. After all, Simon has given that boat. It's a small thing. The boat nobody was using. But Lord is not a debtor to any man. If you do anything for the Lord, he is going to give you back 100 times. He is going to give you back 1,000 times. Do you believe that? It is very important. But how many of us, we don't serve the Lord. We don't live for the Lord. Unless you are born again. If you are born again, then the Lord is living in you and you have to live for the Lord. If you don't live for the Lord, you will be very unhappy. So please understand. Now this first thing we learn, the first principle we learn here is people are listening to the word of God. If we want to have faith, we must read the word of God, we must meditate on the word of God, and we must hear the voice of the Lord. The second thing, verse 4. Somebody read verse 4. Right. Verse 5 also. Right. In verses 4 and 5, we are learning the second principle. What is the second principle in faith? We have to be obedient to the word of God. Not only here, many people hear, but they don't obey. They are only, it's all theory. There's no practice. We have to be practical Christians. Now what is the issue here? It is almost hot sun like now, the time is like this. And the Lord is telling Simon, who is an expert fisherman, who has got a lot of experience about Sea of Galilee, in the hot sun, you take your boat and go deep into the Sea of Galilee, 3-4 miles, and let down your nets for a catch. Now Simon respected the Lord Jesus. He said, Master, he has respect for Jesus. That is very important. And he said, we worked hard all night. The whole of last night we were on the sea. We spent more than 9 hours on the sea. We caught nothing at all. And though you are a carpenter, I know you are a carpenter, I am a fisherman. But still, you are my master. You are speaking the words of eternal life. What does he say? I will do as you say. At your word, I will cast the net. So this is very important. We have to obey. We have to say, Lord, as you say, I will do. When the word is speaking to us, when we hear the voice of the Lord, we must immediately say, Lord, help me to obey. Many times we read, God is speaking, but we don't obey. But we must say, Lord, I don't like to obey, but still make me to obey. That's how you must say. Lord, my heart, my flesh is pulling me in the wrong direction. Lord, you overcome. And Lord, you give me grace to obey. That's how we must pray. This is very important. Lord, I have some wisdom. I have experience. But my wisdom is nothing. Your wisdom, though it is hot sun, I know, according to my human wisdom, there won't be any fishes there. But the Lord is saying, go. Because you told me to go, I will go. Shall I tell you something? In the ministry, I have been in the ministry now for 17 years. Apart from my government work, I also do the Lord's work, because I am in a church in Hyderabad called Hebron, and that is a sister church of Beersheba in Ahmedabad. Okay? So I also go to different places. When I was young, I wanted to go to big church because, you know, I know everything, I've read everything in the Word of God. But there was no fruit, there was no blessing. The Lord told me, you go to that village, you go to the district, go very far, dur. The further we went, God prepared his people there. Even small assembly, when you go far out, when you speak simple words, the people will receive it into their heart. They feel so much joy. They give you so much love in the villages. They love you because they know the value of the word. In the city, no matter you go on telling 100 times, they say, we have heard. So we must be prepared to go out. Launch out into the deep. That's what he's saying. God's ways are different from our ways. So we have to follow. We are learning divine principles. God's wisdom is different from man's wisdom. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My ways are higher than your ways, as the heaven is higher than the earth. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So we have to read the word of God and understand that God has a great purpose in calling you and me. We have to become his disciples. The story is how they became disciples. It is not enough to say, I believe, I read all the gospel books, I have a big library in my house. No, I have to be a disciple, I have to carry the cross and follow him. Now Simon did not argue with the Lord. He said, what did he say? Verse 5, altogether, verse 5. પાંચમા વચન. નહીં નહીં સ્વામી, યા યસ ગો હેડ. Immediately he said, Lord, I am not going to question anything. I will obey you at once, implicitly. And what happened? They rowed for that a couple of hours. Again, it takes time to row 2 miles on the sea or 3 miles. Sea of Galilee is about 6 to 7 miles in length. In those days it must have been even broader, more water then. Now there is not much water in the Sea of Galilee. So that much they went. And the Lord is sitting in the boat with them. But by faith, they are obeying the Lord. When they came into the deep, then the Lord said, cast your net. And you know what happened? Read verse 6 and 7. 6 and 7. Che sat. Somebody read. Oh, how wonderfully the Lord blessed them. You know, after all the night they were struggling, they didn't catch any fish. But when they saw Jesus of Nazareth preaching, they gave their boat to him for a few hours. And then suddenly the Lord said, I'm going to take you into the sea. They obeyed. They did not question. And after all that, suddenly in the hot sun, when they cast the net, they found all the fishes in the Sea of Galilee were getting into the net. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of creation. He created the heaven and the earth and the sea also. He has directed all the fishes to get into that boat. So you can imagine how what was happening in the Sea of Galilee. From all corners of the Sea of Galilee, big fishes, small fishes, all colored fishes, everything was rushing there. And Peter was struggling to pull the net. It's a good thing that his partner, John, is such a close friend. His boat was also there. So he said, John, you come and help me. So John also came. And both of them pulled, and along with their other workers, they pulled it. And one boat was sinking with the load of the fish. They filled it in the second boat. That boat was also sinking, and the nets were breaking. You know, there is a verse in the Bible, Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Can somebody read it? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that works in us. Right? So he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that. Do you believe God is able to do that? Yet many of us have not given our heart to the Lord. Many of us are not born again. Many of us are not living for the Lord. What a great God he is. You know, I worked in a district as district magistrate. It is the worst district in Telangana and Andhra Pradesh. All Naxalite problems. After I was saved, within 6 months, the district which is at the bottom, ranked number 23 out of 23 districts in Andhra Pradesh, at the bottom, in all areas of development, in all areas, it went to the top. God can do that. When I left the district, God took me from the bottom to the top. God will do it. When he saves you, it is so wonderful, you know. All the years that you have wasted in this world, all the money that you have earned, all the problems that you have created for yourself, if you come to Lord Jesus Christ, in a moment, you can feel the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Within a few weeks, all the healing that you feel. God brings you into the church. You have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. And you have so much of joy in the fellowship of the saints. Isn't it wonderful when you are born again? You must have that experience. Not just Christmas and keep a tree. But you must have Christmas in your heart. Jesus Christ must be born in your heart. This is very important. The whole fishes in the Sea of Galilee got into the net, got into the boat. Boat is sinking and it is as if heaven has been opened. But in this case, the sea has opened. He is both the Lord of heaven and he is also the Lord of the earth. He is the Lord of the sea. And Peter's eyes were opened. The eyes of his heart were opened. You know, verse 8. Brother, read. Verse 8. Art.
તે જોઈને સિમોન પિતરે ઈસુના પગ આગળ પડીને કહ્યું કે ઓ પ્રભુ મારી પાસેથી જા કારણ કે હું પાપી માણસ છું.
So his eyes were suddenly opened. You know, you and I cannot come to Jesus unless he opens our eyes. But if you are a proud man and you think I have everything, when I retire or when I'm age 60, then after enjoying everything in the world, I will come to Jesus. You cannot come to Jesus at that time. Today, if the word is speaking to you, you must humble yourself. Then God will open your eyes. What happened to Peter? God opened his eyes and he realized the person who's in the boat with him, this Jesus of Nazareth, is not just a preacher. He's not just a teacher. But he has come from God. He's a divine being. And that's why he fell down in the boat, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Everywhere in the middle of the fishes, he falls down on his knees and he worships. And he says, Lord. Earlier he called him Master. Now he's saying, Lord, Prabhu. Lord is a very big word in the Bible. Lord means you are the highest of the highest. And he says, Lord, go away from me. I am worthless. When we come into the presence of God, we cannot boast about anything in us. You know, I may be a big officer in government of India, but that is nothing before Jesus. I may be a district magistrate, but that is nothing before Jesus. We cannot boast about anything in this world. What we can boast about is, I am foolish, I am weak, I have no strength. I have made many mistakes in my life, but my Lord has saved me. That is what we should boast about, that the Lord is living in me, unworthy creature that I am. So when God opens our eyes, the reaction will be like this. Lord, you're an awesome God. Lord, you're a great God. You're a holy God. And I never realized that you have such a great heart. I lent my boat to you just for 2 hours or 3 hours. But you have given me enough fishes to last for months together. You have compensated me in a way that I cannot believe. All the frustration that I suffered last night has been wiped out completely. Why do we struggle? Why do we strain in this world? We must learn to come to Jesus, bow down before him and say, you are an awesome God and you are my Savior and Lord. And you know what the Lord said? Everybody was astonished. Can you read? I will read verse 10, last part. And Jesus said to Simon, do not fear, from now on you will be catching men. Can you read that in Gujarati? Yes. You know how wonderful the Lord is saying. Lord is not saying, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. If you read Matthew chapter 4, he said, if you follow me, I will make you. But here he says, I have captured your heart. From now on, I am in control. That is how the Lord must capture you. It is not that you are giving your heart to the Lord. Many times we think, I have taken a decision for the Lord. I have come to the Lord. Nobody can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord has to come to you. And he has to catch your heart. And once he catches your heart, then he is going to use you as a wonderful fisher of men. Can you say the Lord has captured my heart? Look at your heart. Now it's nice in the church. You're listening to the word of God. Afterwards, oh, I want to go and watch that cricket match. Oh, I want to go and sit before the TV set and relax. Or I want to go somewhere else and buy shopping. I must buy this. I must buy that. America is full of buying everywhere. Malls, malls, malls. Deals, deals, deals. It is a country where the devil wants to pull us away from God. We have to be very careful. We have to stand against the tide. The current is pulling us away. But we must stand strong in the word of God and we must obey my Lord. He has captured my heart. I am here to serve him. This is very important, brothers and sisters. He told him, no if, Peter, if you follow me, no, I have caught you. From now onwards, as my disciple, you will be catching men. And you know, within a very little time, on the day of Pentecost, Peter caught 3,000 men. 3,000 were baptized in the gospel net that was cast that day. And it was such a wonderful thing. If you and I were there, you know what we will think? the Lord is very good. Let us go, not on Sea of Galilee, but let us go into the Mediterranean Sea. And we can use him to catch all the fish. And I will set up a fishing business. And we'll make money using the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Christians are like that. Many Christians are like that. They come to America and they say, we have this project in India, that project in India. And Americans think. Now what is Americans think? If I give $30 or $40, you know, for somebody in India, everything is maaf, everything is wiped out. You have to give your heart to the Lord. That is very important. Do you understand? We have to give our heart to the Lord. All our donations here and there don't count. Am I totally surrendered to the Lord? Have I given my heart to the Lord? Has the Lord captured my heart? You know, Peter, he caught 3,000 men on the day of Pentecost. And he caught not only Jews, he caught even Gentiles. He caught a big fish, Cornelius. And he was such a wonderful soul winner, wonderful a person who caught so many for the kingdom of God. And God wants to use you and me for that purpose. Now the last reaction, verse 11 altogether. 11. This is very important. You see here, we are talking about faith. Hearing the word of God, obeying the word of God, then having the revelation, our eyes being opened. And then our response, we say, I believe, that is not enough. You must surrender before the Lord. What is the surrender that they did here? They said, I am not interested in all this fishing business. I am not interested in my factory business. I am not interested in this danda and that danda. I want to serve the Lord. That is first. No doubt for my living, I have to do business. But first business is the Lord's business. My Father's business, my Heavenly Father's business. I must do His work. So they left their boats, they left their father, they left everything and they followed him. You know, after some months, Peter was telling the Lord, Lord, I left everything, what will you give me? And the Lord said, you will get a throne in heaven and you're going to sit on a throne. And not only with the throne, but I'm going to give you eternal life. And not only with eternal life, but you will get much more than all the world can give you. You know, the Lord tells him that. That is found in Matthew 19, 27 to 29. You can read it when you go home. Peter is saying, Lord, this disciple life is a little difficult. I cannot walk by faith. I want immediate results. The Lord said, you're going to receive eternal life. You're going to get many times more and you're going to get a throne in heaven. Do you believe that? We believe that afterwards, God is going to put us on the throne with him. If we live an overcoming life, if we really are 24/7, totally dedicated to the Lord says, eternal life, that is the most important thing. You know, the most precious thing is eternal life. We'll just turn to Matthew 19. I'm going to close in another 5 minutes. Matthew 19, 29. Can you read Matthew 19, 29?
જે કોઈએ ઘરોને કે ભાઈઓને કે બહેનોને કે બાપને કે માને કે છોકરાને કે ખેતરોને મારા નામને લીધે મૂકી દીધા છે તે 100 ગણા પામશે અનંત જીવનનો વારસો પામશે.
This અનંત જીવન is very important. How do you know you have અનંત જીવન? How do you know you have eternal life? When God's spirit is in you, you will know. God will give you that courage and that boldness to stand for him. Everywhere, wherever you are, because you know it, it is an experience. I know Jesus is living in me and he has conquered death on the cross. He has conquered Satan on the cross. And you know, the believers, when a believer dies, it is such a beautiful time, you know. There is no sadness. In Beersheba, when the body is brought in Maninagar, in that church there, everybody will be singing around the body. Beautiful songs. Same thing in Hebron. Believer has the hope that even if I die, I will live. It is only a sleep. It is only a passage from earth to heaven. But an unbeliever, when you see the death of an unbeliever, oh, there is so much weeping and wailing because they have no hope. But our God has given us eternal life. Eternal life is a real experience, brothers and sisters. And that's what I want to tell you. You know, this story in Luke chapter 5 speaks about listening to the word of God, obeying the word of God, having our eyes of our heart open to the revelation of God, and then responding by following, completely surrendering to the Lord. Have you surrendered to the Lord? Eternal life. You will know it when you have it in your heart. Because eternal life is a life that will never die. And it is a life which is the life of God. It is God's own life which is giving. It's the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, many times in this world, after we are born again, though we go through the waters, we will never be drowned. Though we go through the fire, we will never be burnt. Again and again, God is pulling us out. We know the Christian experience. How many problems we have gone through, but the Lord is all the time bringing us higher and higher, higher and higher. And spiritual riches, heavenly blessings, we know it. We have tasted it, and we want you to taste it also. It's a real life. A simple young man in America called D.L. Moody, he has no education, you know, but God raised him up to save so many souls in America and in England. In Pakistan, Bak Singh was a young man. He gave up everything for the Lord. God raised so many churches through him. Watchman Nee in China, one man. Today China is having maximum number of Christians because they all surrendered to the Lord. Whether it's D.L. Moody or Bak Singh or even Watchman Nee. All these people, some of you may be knowing their names. Totally 100% devoted to the Lord. They left everything and followed him. Do you believe in the word of God? Are you willing to obey the Lord? Are you willing to surrender to the Lord? May the Lord plant this word deeply into your hearts. May God bless this word. Amen.